Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to this week's Premier Review Hurling Podcast, where myself, Sean Smith, is joined here with Mike McCarthy from Cap White and Marty Ryan from Lochmore. So we'll just go straight into it there, lads. So Motion 13 was passed. Each county has 16 senior teams. Well, technically in Senior A anyway. Is that the end of the divisions in TIP, as we know, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, Sean, I suppose it's hard to know. I mean, I suppose technically it's not the end of them. As regards, you could still have a mid-North West championship with just the Dan Breen teams if you wanted, and then have the same with the Seamus Loreen teams. But it's going to be very hard to see how it would be viable. I mean, in the West, we'd only have two, like, which we've had for quite a while in Clonalty and Iroh. Down South, they'll have only the one with Mullinahone, and the mid have, I think they have five or six, and the North would have seven or eight. So, I mean, you probably get a good mid or North championship out of it. But as regards Motion 13 getting rid of the divisions, it probably, I suppose technically it doesn't. But the Motion 12, the split season, I think that's the one that will actually put the knife into the divisions because of just time. That there won't be enough time, you know.
Yeah, I think they could, like, if time was there, you could play them off and run some form, but there's no time, you can't play them, you know. That's the one thing, like. Do you have a similar opinion, Mark, yourself?
Yeah, no, I'd be the same. It doesn't necessarily mean the end of them, but at the same time, they're definitely gone in the guise that they've always been. You won't have Seamus Loreen teams competing in them now, obviously. So, I don't know, I'd be of the opinion that they should go and play them without intercounty players during the intercounty season and have, say traditional divisional championships just without intercounty players, give players something to play for during the good weather in the early summer.
Yeah.
I think you have to incentivize it though a small bit, because there has to be a bit more for winning it now when obviously the link is gone. But I don't know, like, if you win your North or your mid championship, that's kind of maybe your true to quarter final in whichever championship you're in, be it Seamus Loreen or Dan Breen. It's kind of that extra lifeline, maybe.
Yeah, I never thought of that, actually. Maybe even that if a team that won a division was in the Seamus Loreen, they gave a backdoor into Seamus Loreen again or something. You know, as you say, it has some incentive. I know what people say, I'll win the division, some clubs take as, you know, it's a great day, like Port Rowe over the years and that. But still, like, now, if you're playing without county players, it's like beating a team, missing five or six players. Have you really won division, like, you know? Got to look at that way, like.
Yeah, I mean, take the looks at the two-year clubs. I mean, maybe not so much the Sayers, Sean, but like if you take all the inter-county players out of Loughmore, I suppose they become a very average team. Like, and that's no disrespect to the rest of the players, but I mean, you take
out the
three McGraths and was it maybe the Conleys and
John Maher. Lee McGrath would be with the footballers if he's back. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, like, so even if you do incentivize the divisions, it's still, it's like Loughmore are probably going to say, why, like, do you know what I mean? And there's plenty more clubs like that around that would have plenty of inter-county players, you know. So
they've a dead right to be against it, like, in terms of why should we be disadvantaged and other teams get lifelines if we've players that can't play? You know, it's going to go back to the clubs and what kind of clubs kind of want or what maybe they'll agree. But it's this year, I just time wise, it's not possible to run off and play it in. But you wouldn't.
Yeah, but I think going forward, time is going to be an issue anyway, because the All Ireland finals, the All Ireland football final is to be played by the 29th Sunday of the year, which leaves you with 23 more weeks for club action. And like a lot of people will hear that and say there's plenty of time, but there actually isn't, because that 23 weeks means you have to win an All-Ireland club in that 23 weeks. And that takes a huge chunk of time out of the... So realistically, your club action is going to be probably 14 weeks at the max. And like, again, hurling people will say that's loads of time, but it's not, because you have clubs that need, that will play both codes, and they'll be playing week on week, and that's 12-13 weeks in a row that they potentially could be playing. I mean, we saw it in 2020 with Loughmore, they played 13 weeks I think running, so it's like you don't have the time, and then you're talking about throwing a division into the kind of what Wednesday nights there. It's crazy. It's crazy when you do take a step back and think about it.
When you write it down on paper, because I think people go to club season was great until only you pointed out, or one of the other lads there were chatting, like, that includes the Ireland club, which is 6 weeks probably. You don't think of that. Like, most counties wouldn't even think of that when you hear it. Lads go to me, oh, it's great, we have 23 weeks. And like, whoa, that's to get to Croke Park lifting the cup, like.
Yeah.
And it's 6 weeks, so you're thinking the end of October at best, you know.
Yeah, our county finals, I suppose, were always played kind of, what is it, the second or third week of October. You might get to kind of whatever, the 24th of October now.
I think we played Bursley on the 4th of November there a few years ago. I think that was, we went to All-Ireland that year, didn't we? I think. Can't remember.
You bet Burris in 2017, wasn't it?
Was it 17? Yeah, that was definitely November. I know that for a fact, because, like, Jesus, fair late.
Yeah. But that's with the All-Ireland clubs. Would say the All-Ireland series was after Christmas. I mean, it all has to be done in the calendar year now. Actually, I think, I don't know, was it Chicken or someone on or Four Candles maybe on Premier View made a great point about the, we'll say, for the football county, inter-county, I mean, they'll want all their players from the 1st of January, because the National League is so important to those with the way the All-Ireland Football Championship is gone.
Yeah.
That you have to you have to be in Division 2 or be promoted to Division 2 to be able to play for Sam Maguire. I mean, that's a huge incentive for teams in 2 and 3 to stay there. So, like, inter-county managers are going to be screaming for their players. They won't want them gone for 2 or 3 weeks to play off of Club All-Ireland.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Club All-Ireland will have to be done before Christmas, really. There'd be no other way about it. But the only thing is, you probably will get started a bit earlier than those 23 weeks, because we're not going to be in an All-Ireland final every year, and it's 23 weeks from the football, which, you know, we're not going to be in a football final too often either. So there is a few extra weeks there in which to get started. So,
what are you going to allow them? This is something lads say to me. I was tip knocked out early. I'm in a club here. I'm told I'm not playing until this date. All of a sudden, I'm back 6 weeks earlier. I have 3 weddings planned and 4 stags. Like,
yeah,
this is where the whole problem was.
That's only Carrick's problem, though.
But to be honest, I don't think I couldn't ever see Tip having to be playing earlier than the 1st of August, because I think in the hurling, realistically, we're going to be in a quarter final every year, or we should be. And it's going to be the exceptional year where we're not. And that's going to be towards the end of June. So at that stage, you're not going to bring your, just if you get knocked out of the quarter final stage, you're not going to say, right, the club is going to play 2 weeks earlier, because that's not fair on anybody. So I think really it's probably never going to be an option. I mean, for the footballers, they're surely going to be looking to drive on from this year. They've been in 2 All-Ireland semi-finals in 5 years. So they're going to be looking at trying to get to the Super 8s, I suppose, every year. And that's going to take up a good chunk of June as well. So I don't ever see Tip playing before the 1st of August going forward.
Yeah, and that's kind of going to lead on to our next kind of thing with the CPA have called a day on it, the Club Players Association there. What's their feeling on that? Like, the whole thing was getting club players, getting a calendar for them, getting stuff fixed. Split season has meant that, but like, they've just disbanded completely now. Would it keep them going? Would it be a thing to go, or are they right to kind of part ways because the job is done basically?
It's a bit like the monorail episode of The Simpsons where Leonard Nimoy goes, well, it looks like my work here is done. And Barney says, you didn't do anything. And he says, didn't I? So it's a bit like that. I mean, they're leaving and saying, we've our job done, good luck. But like, I know, I think it was COVID brought about this more than the CPA. The CPA made a bit of noise a couple of years ago, but they've been very quiet for a long time.
Mm.
And as I said, I think COVID really brought in this split season. So I don't know. I think there's probably need for a club players association to look after club players in general. I don't think they should have disbanded, but
yeah, there's still loads of like things that like come down the line. Like, it's not like the club seems perfect now, like, Mike. There's no like,
yeah, like I was surprised when I saw that. I suppose they're saying I don't think their remit was a split season. I think their remit was to fix club issues, and I actually think we'll see more fixture issues popping up now in the split season. Because what does the split season mean? You're going in a 16 team championship, you're really only going to get 3 championship games, or a minimum of 3 championship games. Like, and if lads are only getting three meaningful games and probably played out quick enough over a 6 week period, they're not going to be happy with that. They're going to want more meaningful games, and that means then that, you know, there's more work kind of for a CPA in that role.
Yeah, to give the player more, as you were saying, Tip, you could have 3 group games played off. You could lose the first 2 in your third game is dead over nearly, you know, I mean.
Well, look at the Wexford situation this year. I mean, they played off their full County Hurling Championship in the month of August. in 4 weeks. But imagine being a club player down there. Surely there's something in that for a CPA. Like, no,
yeah. I was chatting to Adam Wexford last summer down there one day. I was chatting. He just came out of nowhere. He just goes, like, you went on the beer, and then a beer night before. I was like, did not win last week championship. Oh, we played again since we lost and we're gone. I was like, what? It all happened about 4 days. Like, it was mental. Like,
yeah.
No. Went from highs of winning the game to knocked out a few days later, and that was it. And the final's on that.
I think there's so much there that a club players association could have done. I mean, we see inequalities in a lot of counties between the codes. I mean, that's an issue that could have been tackled as regards fixtures. Our under 21 players, I mean, as club players, probably not going to play again this year.
Yeah.
With the time frame, there's work there for them in that regard as well.
That's a great. I don't want to lose either, because I know a lot of people say, oh, the under 19 is there now, home, the slots in, lads. 19-year-old, 20 is going in playing junior. Some, like, it's not a step up, but some teams it would be a step up. They need a stepping stone there for them. 21 was a great grade. Like, we had a lot of lads that played junior. 21 brought them on usually, playing in the dirt and shit in December. Like, that's where a lot of them earned their stripes, to be honest.
And it's still a very entertaining grade. Like, there's some great stuff in it because it's knockout, you end up getting entertaining games and just a bit of bite to them and stuff. So,
this time last year we won our mid 121 title, beating Brackens out in Castellini.
In the football, yeah. On the road this time last year, yeah.
The greatest day of my life.
I've never seen a team so confused at a trophy presentation in my life.
But like that, like winning that alone, I know it's just football and it's Irish football only league, but like that, having that on 21, that keeps a lot of them lads into it, interested. I know it's played in March and just rushed off, but if you're losing them grades, like, you're lose a lot of game time for them young lads. No, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose the 21, the way it was played was the football was at the start of you. You're probably starting in the middle to end of January, the way it was gone. Your hurling in is at the end of the year. It kept lads playing for a couple of months, you know, and that mightn't have been doing anything. It's 21 is a great grade. And as Marty said, some of the best hurling that you'd watch was in that grade. It's probably a more pure form of hurling because they're probably not as cynical as the older lads are.
Yeah. There are some games in Dala over the years, like County Finals, where South and Kilraad and a few other clubs, like it was always the crowds at them as well. It was, you wouldn't see a big crowd at some of the divisional games, you know, mid finals or west finals that were at some of these games. Like.
And it tends to be a bit less of a focus on tactics too. As you said, it's a purer form of hurling. It's just go out and hurling kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
I think that was probably the big attraction with 21 inter-county. I mean, because that was always a great competition. I think it's lost something. I think both the minor and the 21 have lost by going back to 20 and 17. And all it's really doing, especially at the 17, is making it easier for fixture makers. And now it does. It makes a huge difference. But at the same time, I do think you've lost something from the grades.
Yeah, the 17 stepping back. Like, they were inter-county minor. Now they're kind of, you kind of gloss over more than that. And you might see the result, or you might go to, you know, even the 21. They've been often, summer nights, they go up to stay in 21 game. They've been cracking. But when they go back that year, it's kind of, it's like they're running it for the sake of it, keeping people happy, but they're trying to get rid of them as well.
Yeah, and you probably won't have as much input. I think you said it on the forum, Marty, about the 2010, the week, you know, of winning the two All-Irelands. But like the senior players that were on that 2010-21 panel were all 21 that year. Like, so they wouldn't have been eligible for another 21-20 championship. You know, if it was around at that stage. So I think that age, 2021, especially we see it now. I mean, Tip had no under 20 on the starting team in 2020 just gone. So I mean, I think it's the 21 you see the senior stars, and that's what draws the crowds, I think.
Yeah. You get to see those up and coming senior players kind of dominating games. It's kind of taste of like what's to come in a few years' time for your seniors, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And it's,
you know, it's like if you look at those three Clare teams that won the 21 in a row, the likes of Tony Kelly and stuff, kind of not everybody on those teams lived up to their potential, but the likes of Tony Kelly and them, you know, I'm sure it was great in Clare for those few years following those teams. Like,
yeah, well, I suppose they didn't live up to their potential, but maybe they were held back a bit, I think, by what we're seeing in the news. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, but you're dead right. You're dead right. That's it. And it seems to be that they're trying to take the pressure off the 18-year-olds by going back to 17, but it has taken the bite out of it. And
it's
more of a developmental thing. And maybe people would probably criticize me for saying this now because it's. But I'd always thought the actual going out and trying to win a minor was great. But now it's more about developing the players. I suppose maybe that's what the GA wants, like a more of a developmental thing.
Yeah, that year, like a young lad comes on between 16 and 18, they turn in even physically, there's some difference. You see, it's guaranteed line up photos now minor teams under 17 compared to under 18. You'll know it straight away without even someone telling you which ones are 18 and which are 17 physically. And it's just, it's still, I always class minors either kind of out of school or something while starting college. Now they're still in school. It's hard to cope, kind of a bit less even. It's hard to know. Hard to cope was under what, 18 and a half, wasn't it?
RT is 19 now, isn't it?
19.
Yeah.
So when you go back, it's 2 years back from that, and when you look at it that way, like,
yeah.
Dean Ryan, that was 16
and a half.
So it's Dean Ryan and a bit more. Yeah. So like the club game, there's still issues there that like, and you say the CPA, you could still have them going in the background and somewhere to go. Like if you have any problems with the club, like the club team will never be perfect. Like we could talk about till we're in our grave. Like there's always going to be issues. But when the body that was over sorting out things kind of persuades or kind of wondering, we're just looking out for the greater game, a few big clubs, senior sides and the bigger teams and just, we won't worry about the underage setup or at nice. That's the way you kind of look at it, you know.
Yeah, I think the GA are probably trying to streamline too much across all the counties, and I mean, it's certainly not a one size fits all, because like in Tip, we maybe were different from other counties in that we had a very viable divisional competition. But now Crow Park are dictating that more or less that we can't have that, and we have to be the same as Cork and Kerry and Waterford in the way we run our championships. And I don't think that's right. I'm against that from just because even the left at 16 teams, what happens if Tip in the future want to go back to 24 teams in the senior championship? That should be their priority. It might be the right thing to do, but now we don't have that option and we never will have that option again.
Yeah. You're right, actually. There could be a day come when the playing field will level up, and hopefully it will. There's more clubs competitive, and if there's 6, 7 teams or 8 teams from Shane and Serene step up and are competitive, there's no reason why you can't at 24 and whatever, 4 groups of 6, or there's ways of doing it. Like, you know, there's other, you're kind of restricting out to 16. That's it. Like, there's no,
like Galway have a 24 team senior championship divided into 2 12s. Like,
They've got away with that though, with not having to play meet Connacht deadlines, you know, which maybe there's more to be said for that. Like, to be honest, if you had to make me choose between keeping the divisions and keeping the All-Ireland Club Series, I'd probably keep the divisions, to be honest. The All-Ireland Club Series is great, but again, you talk about the intercounty being the elite few percent. How many club players get to play in the All-Ireland Club Championship every year? It's very, very small number. So
yeah,
it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I suppose we're losing 8 weeks of our club window for one team. You know,
yeah. I think it's not like the intercounty, where at least the intercounty, it's the whole county. It's only one team, but it's representing the whole county. Whereas with one club, and like if it's your neighbours next door, you definitely don't want to see him win anyway. So,
who are you on about there, Mark?
I wouldn't be mentioning anyone in particular there, Renton, but
the Brackens, I'd say the Brackens,
the Brackens, the.
Boy, I'd be the same, like, as in, like, divisions are the provincial title is great, not Ireland clubs, like, to be had great days out and sad days out as well, like, but, like, if it meant a club team will get 2 or 3 extra meaningful championship games in Tipperary, I'd be, you know, I don't know, is there a way, is there a way of playing off the provincial over a weekend or 2 weekends, like, just give them a cup form, I don't know, like, it's, what could it, like, you know, it's a lot of time to give to what essentially only a handful of my teams would be involved in hurling wise. It'd be 5, it could be 9 or whatever, 10.
You're talking about less than a dozen again, anyway.
Yeah. Club teams in the country, like, this is, you know, when you break it down and what you're compared to what you're losing, then the other side of it.
Yeah.
But just the other thing, just that when you're going back to about the fact that under 17 has kind of become more of a development squad, as you're saying. And if that's the case, and developing players rather than winning All Ireland's is the focus, then maybe your minor and your under 19 competitions could be played during the intercounty season, because your under 20 players can't play senior for the county.
Yeah.
Now, you know, with new rules, so
that was always in football. I didn't know that actually.
Oh, yeah, that was always in football.
I never knew it until
since it went back to under 20, that's always been the case. But, you know, like you could have more of those club games, and if they're development squads, then the intra-county managers wouldn't be able to demand that games would be put off to accommodate the intra-county minor team or the intra-county under 20 team. And
you could have your Bernadette's number 30 on the panel that's from a club in when or wherever, and you're like, no, see this happening. Minors, owners, they were delaying teams because lad was never ever like going to play the match. He'd be obvious, never got a game, and he's sitting on the bench when he's talking today. We had the club game on the Wednesday night, it's off for 2 weeks because we're like, you know,
yeah, it's like that's kind of like you can. The case can be made at senior level for that kind of thing, you know, and that's. That's fair enough because it's the elite or whatever. But at, you know, at underage levels, they have to be letting lads play. You shouldn't be holding the whole thing up for lads at 17, 18, 19 years of age because of the intercounty stuff.
And as you say, if it's called development, it's more about bringing lads on, and whether hurling, a county level or hurling a club level, they're developing.
Just the more hurling, the better. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're fair point. Next, we'll just jump on there to maybe what kind of will happen so this season, where we know we have club and county thrown off, and there's an article in the Irish Examiner by John Ford kind of thinking outside the box. 5 ways the GAA calendar could be reshaped in 2001. So he gives kind of different proposals and stuff. And what way do you kind of see it going? Are they going to go county first, club second, and go with it and run the league or not run the league? What way do you think yourself, Mike?
I think it'll probably, at the moment, and it will stay with the inter-county starting quick first. And probably, I think, as we've discussed over the last couple of weeks, probably maybe a shortened league campaign, kind of more regional based, and then into the championship with, and then club championship then probably starting in September. I don't see any major change to that. Bear the money men in Crow Park get their way and look for a flip on the club and the inter-county season. But Crow Park seemed to be, John Horan before he finished up at the weekend was adamant that he was going to stay at inter-county first. You know, whether there's a new train of thought with Larry McCarthy involved, I suppose only time will tell.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking of Marty B.
No, I'd be thinking the same, a shortened regional league and then a knockout championship similar to what we had last year. I can't see the club going first because of the levels we have to get down to for club. I think we're a long way from being allowed club players to be allowed back early.
It has to be level 2 at the moment. That's, you know, that's, and the government can start skipping levels now. They have to go down in.
No, we're going to be slow. We're going to be slow going down levels, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, just talking about the money men, I think maybe they're not going to, we're not going to have crowds at any stage this year to make inter-county games really commercially viable. So I think maybe getting 500 people into a club venue might be better for the county boards and put less of a strain on Croke Park as a whole, maybe, you know, that the county boards would be looking for less of a dig out because they'll get their gate attendances. And to be honest, if you put a limit of 500 at club games this year, I'd say you'll have 500 at every club game because people would be just so mad to go to games.
Yeah,
I sure remember what it was like last summer trying to get tickets for games.
Oh, fucking need to get tickets for Glastonbury, lads, or something. Honestly. there's not like
3 or 4 computers out and logged into all of them. And
will the GAA come out with some sort of plan now in April of a time frame when the government starts relaxing restrictions as well? They have to kind of release something, or what way are you thinking there?
Yeah, I suppose they'll have to, like they're saying April weekend, isn't it? They would say Easter weekend. So that's when they're looking at probably meeting and finalising a plan. But I suppose it'll all depend on what way cases are going. Yes. I suppose will certain events put a big rise on cases again, you know, and we all saw what happened in Limerick over the past couple of days, and will that have a huge knock-on effect in the amount of cases that's going to come out of that? And that's probably only one isolated incident. Look, we're still at probably a very high number. Well, I think it was like 500, was it today or something?
So he was over 500 again today. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not probably coming down at the rate, and we're also not getting the vaccinations that we thought we were. I mean, we didn't hit our 100,000 target there for last week. So I suppose confidence wise, they said we were going to be doing 1 million a month. Was it for April, May, June? I find it very hard to see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, like. Yeah, you're depending on that, but you'd like to see some sort of thing come out of GAA going, as of, if we go in right side by side with GAA with the road plan at the moment, this is when the club may be back. This is when the county start. Just some sort, because even the club at the moment, lads are kind of wondering, are we allowed to go back training in April, or are we not? Are we going back training and playing in August? You know, it's just some sort of...
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I think the whole thing is crazy. I mean, probably the GAA, because they don't have this elite status, they can't come out and say, because they just don't know when they're going to be allowed back to play. But I mean, there's a young lad here from Kappa who has been signed up by that Treaty United, which are the new Limerick League of Ireland team. Like, every one of those lads are part-timers. I mean, that young fella is here. He goes to college. He's college from home, but I mean, he's around the village or whatever, he's at home with his parents. It's not like them lads are elite in any way. And he was off in Waterford there 2 nights ago playing a match, and they've another one against Cork City coming up. I mean,
he's no different.
Crazy.
He's no different to your average club player, like.
No.
You know.
But yet he's allowed to travel the country playing soccer, like, and our inter-county lads. And I think the inter-county scene was managed so well last year from an actual playing point of view. I mean, it was, there was so much testing going on. There was so temperature checks, everything.
Military precision. It was crazy. Like, it was getting, before he even got into the stadium inside Blue Doyer, temperature checked, have to questionnaires. It was sick, but so it was overboard, but had to be done. Like, but it can show what GA can do, that if it has to do with protocols, they'll do it. Like,
No, it was managed. I thought it was managed excellently. And any cases that came out were probably more supporters and that were gathering in pubs and hotels and stuff to watch matches, you know. And that's that option isn't there at the moment.
Yeah,
the club scene was managed very well. Like, there was even a club match like that, there was people spread out. There's no car getting a crowd.
There was a couple of incidents, all right, where there looked to be too many people in stands and stuff, but they were isolated enough, and again, the case numbers didn't exactly explode because of it either. Still, I don't know how bad things are outside, especially if people wear masks. You know, it's not like we're all congregating inside in a cinema or a theater or something, you know, for sure.
Yeah,
it's another argument.
Yeah, but I suppose the inter-county scene is so different in that, you know, they're all in gated and fenced venues. It's not like people can rock up to them. And as you saw last year, I mean, sure, there was like trying to get into Fort Knox, trying to get into Park of Kiev or into Centre Stadium or the Gaelic ground. So there was no supporters getting in. And I mean, there wasn't the full extent to the backroom teams weren't even allowed in. So, I mean, it was managed fierce well. To me, that is the very same as what the League of Ireland clubs had. So, yeah.
Like, any sport that's prime time at 4 o'clock on a Sunday on national telly is not elite. You got to kind of wonder.
Yeah.
Like, you've been kind of going, what the hell? Like, when they dropped it down, like, even when they changed it down to levels, but even last few weeks, players were only doing their own thing individually, maybe meeting up in pods. You know, it was all still a controlled environment. There's no bar the odd, you hear the odd thing of teams running on beaches. Is that because they know they're adjacent? A few of us did it, you know?
Yeah. But like you just say there, the television figures, like, you look at how many people watched the Northern Ireland final last year, you're talking about upwards of 1 million people. Mm. How many League of Ireland matches do RTE have to show to get 1 million viewers? Like, a whole season?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's...
Yeah.
No, it's not... look, I don't like comparing sport with sport. I mean, they have their own thing to do, the League of Ireland, and fair play to them. They've kept their elite status, but it does... It's the not making sense. I mean, Sean, we spoke about golf before, like, how you can't play golf. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me how you can't be out in a golf course. Sure, that's nearly a lone sport anyway. Like,
I mean, you wouldn't even be... phrasing, but you wouldn't be handling one another's balls even.
that's a different podcast there, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just kind of the GA scene just kind of back down. We're told we're not elite, and that was it. Just took it in.
Yeah,
you know, just, but the need to get something, as I said, is kind of just to finish off. The need to get some time frame or some plan out in April, just to know where people are, because the club players are getting annoyed. Like, everyone's kind of getting a bit. When are we going to have it? At least there's some plan. I don't mind the timeline. If the plan even has like a timeline, have this game completed by July the 1st or August 30th late. Some sort of worst case scenario, best case scenario. Yeah. You know, and go from there.
Just something,
And just something else there, kind of one about soccer there. We may as well keep some sort of flow going in soccer. We'll just chat there about the 2030 World Cup bid there, Ireland and UK together. And headline there, Semple Stadium may be included in a bid. That's the most way to say it. So I can't see that happening, but be great, but it won't happen. Like,
imagine, I mean, you've already got the fan zone there in the social centre. Just like, I just, there's no logic to even, there's no logic to it at all. the Aviva and Croke Park are the only two potential stadiums on the island that you could use in a World Cup bid. Croke Park might even need a bit of work done to it to bring it up to scratch. I don't know if it's the case, but I think those automatic electronic scanners and turnstiles and things like that, probably have to be talking about things like that and, you know, facelifts and stuff in places. But just like the thoughts of Turles. Like, I mean, I love the stadium, don't get me wrong. I love the place and there's nowhere else I'd rather go see a match, but just couldn't imagine that being used in a World Cup.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I don't know, it kind of came right out of left field, didn't it, from Jackie Callan. Look, he mentioned in it about the infrastructure and that you know, you're on the train lines from Dublin and Cork and Limerick. And that.
Oh, that's 100%. Yeah, we are a perfect location, but everything else isn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we can't get GAA Congress in Tipperary because we don't have enough hotel rooms and for whatever the 300 people or whatever it is that attend GAA Congress. Like, how are we going to host two national teams from other countries and 50,000 people in Central Stadium? Like, I don't see how it's going to work. And even at the moment, I mean, sure, we spoke about previously about Central Stadium and how run down, in inverted commas, it has gone. You know, we'd have to spend huge money to get it up to the required standards for a World Cup.
Yeah.
And do you make it back?
No.
It's hard to know, you know.
Like, the required standards are beyond and beyond what you need for an old game there on a Sunday in stadium, hurling match, 1,000 people at. Like, you know, like, it's just...
I'm just trying to imagine a World Cup match with the current PA system.
Yeah. But I hope this thing doesn't drag on. Like, that, I think, no, if this is going to be another bloody Croke Park going to open, or is Páirc Uí Chaoimh going to be allowed? Like, the Liam Miller thing, which was great, it happened in the end. But, I mean, that went on for 2 or 3 months over a small... I mean, can you imagine how long this thing could go on for a rugby world, or a soccer World Cup? I hope they just get it over and done with and said, no, it's not going in it and let that be it.
The Rugby World Cup one dragged on a bit, didn't it, as well, when Turles mentioned that, like, you know, just on the head. Someone come out and say, it's not suitable, it'll cost us X amount, we'll lose this, good luck, like, you know. People say, get back in the area, but, like, it's different if you have 10 hotels and, like, just literally, I'd be renting out a spare room here as a room of hat, like. I could have the old Iranian team in the back kitchen there for one. I'd give him a few pints and he'd be happy out. You know what?
Maybe not coming from Iran, Sean.
The only people that will make money in that would be the publican, because, and that would be great for them, but it's because there's not enough hotel rooms and it's already been pointed out about the trains. People are just going to fly into Cork, get the train to Turles and then back straight back to Cork. They're not going to be spending any huge amount of money in the Turles area.
Yeah, and like the thing is, Páirc Uí Chaoimh isn't, would that be anyway? Not enough seats, is there?
You've got less seats in Páirc Uí Chaoimh than Turles, just from the number of that you can sit down. But I think the concourse underneath is too small. Like, it's very narrow down there, things like that. I could imagine FIFA being totally against that kind of thing.
They love open spaces, don't they? Behind the stand for merchandise and, you know.
They do, and I mean, you've got your 4G pitch too, I suppose you've got that, but that's only behind one. You've got two terraces there that would be totally useless to soccer. You put in temporary seating, but, I mean, you wouldn't be talking a big enough stadium, I'd say, with temporary seating in there. You've got, you know, no covered stands. You know, you've got two, like, even if you put in the temporary seating, you've got no covers over them, which kind of things mightn't be bothered at going to hurling matches, but they're the kind of things FIFA might be fussy about. And
when is this being, when's the bid going in? Like, we're not to sign off on what's going in, like, no? Or just, actually, forget it, we'll have it on here, like. Is that the way
I think the bidding process is in 2 years' time, is it?
Oh, Jesus. Call it off now to fucking us.
Yeah.
Honestly, like. Another thing that popped up there this week on Twitter kind of got a bit of traction, lads, was Francis Ford there above in Galway. had a tweet up. With the split season now given the go-ahead, it's an opportunity for a GA to rekindle a Railway Cup. So he's thinking the room and the calendar of Tour Bank Holiday weekend to have it. Players will have clubs that they're not hurling with anymore. Get players to buy in and try experimental rules. Would be something that might kind of fill a weekend there on October Bank Holiday weekend and get traction for players that aren't hurling that time of year.
It's typical, isn't it? Like, we're what, 4 days out from actually getting a split season in the GA, and next thing it's they want more inter-county games in one of the weekends. You know, isn't it just, it's just typical. Like, and there seems to be a huge mismatch, I think, between the reporters, national reporters, because obviously the inter-county game is probably their bread and butter, and they're now not going to have it for 23 weeks, so they want something for the papers. I don't know, taking another week away from club action, like, just because there mightn't be club senior hurling or football on that weekend, doesn't mean that there isn't junior or there isn't under 21 or there isn't anything going on. Like, so it's I'm totally against it. If you want to play it in the middle, in the inter-county season, and play it with players that are knocked out of their championship, but don't be taking weekends off of the club.
Yeah, you're going to end up, like, they say, oh, have their one weekend. You're going to have training for come together is fucking general bullshit, like, you know, and taking lads away. What's your thinking, Martin?
Like, if it was on, I'd go watch it, but kind of hard to disagree with what Mike is saying there too about taking away from the club stuff that's on. To be honest, the interest in the competition wasn't there the last few years. It was pitiful the last few years of its life. Nobody was going to it. I don't think it was being televised anywhere. It was kind of O'Neill's weren't even selling the jerseys for a finish. You know,
have you any all on the home, Artie? Surely a few.
I've actually known Munster once.
Have you not?
No, and they don't show up on eBay that often either. Or at least they don't look for them often enough. But
if anyone has a Railway Cup jersey from Munster there, lads, Marty would buy that.
I have one. I could make a good profit on this, I'd say, Marty.
Oh, no deal.
I don't spend too much money on them, to be honest, to try and get good deals. what you call it? To be honest, I don't think the interest is there for it. They're glorified challenge matches at the best of times. And I don't know, like, it'll be interesting because you've got that thing, the Fenway Classic, which was usually going on around November, which has kind of replaced the Railway Cup. It'll be interesting to see how that continues now that that's in the club season.
I don't see that happening either. I think I was at the last one and it was in New York, and I would say it wasn't. I don't know if commercially whether it was a success, but certainly from people going to watch it, it wasn't a success because it was on in the Met Stadium, and there was very little people at it, like, you know, 12,000 or 13,000.
It looked bad on TV, or, like, you know, like, you would love to see it in a stadium that had 15,000 capacity and full instead of a stadium that could hold X amount and third, fourth full, like, you know. Yeah.
Should they have played it in Gaelic Park, maybe?
Well, probably atmosphere-wise, and it would probably have been a lot better. That seemed to be too big, I mean, big for it. But it had been on in Fenway Stadium in Boston the previous 2 years, was it? And it seemed to have got on better up there, but it certainly, and for the amount of Irish people that are in New York, I'd say it was poorly enough supported.
Yeah, I mean, I was meant to go to in Boston the second year, but it was too expensive to go over. But I mean, we're not the target audience over here anyway. It's people living abroad, but I don't know. You'd nearly be better off getting maybe the All-Ireland champions to play over there or something. You know, you might get the All-Ireland champions would have been there anyway, and some guys anyway, but
yeah, I think it was kind of they're probably trying to market it as to the players, as, you know, it's an incentive and that, but the players go on so many, I won't say holidays, but like training camps, and they have to take so much time off work heading over to to New York or Boston or wherever they were going to go for 4 days. It probably isn't on the cards. I mean, the panel that Tip took after winning in All Ireland, and there were like a lot of the majority of the big name players didn't go because they were off to, was it Mexico or wherever they went to?
In Cancun, they went to.
Cancun, yeah.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, it's I think they weren't back in New York, some of them too, and they'd been in London as well. So it's, I think those sort of things, they're great at probably in your first year or two, but after that, they're, once you've done it once, it's grand.
And it could be a team to run off maybe every 5 or 6 years, yeah, do a tour somewhere, you know, whenever, maybe.
Yeah, whereas so that the core player is turning over, you know, you're not going to have the same players.
Mm.
And run it during the county season, maybe run it even before, say, even during some stage when you might be, mightn't have 2-4 best teams hurling in it because it could be in the semis and finals, but it could use the other teams and let them off over for an exhibition if you had to, like, you know, because that was all have it, money, like, it was all
you could have it early pre season too, like, as a kind of a pre season thing, you know. But
So, Railway Cup, no, Fenway Cup, whatever, no. Just give a standard Lee McCarthy and Dan Breen
and more Junior B hurling.
And just on what Junior, seeing as Junior C now in mid anyway, is it? Junior C got into North of it, is it?
Junior C was always in the North, I think, wasn't it? Boris Lee definitely have been playing it for the last couple of years. I think Kirlaran have a Junior C team as well. So.
Is this Junior C going into mid now? Might add an extra few teams drop back. Drum actually entered another team. That's a surprise there. I didn't think they'd have numbers for that. Like,
is that their fourth team?
Fourth team, yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's some numbers. Like, but they have a great retention rate of lads hurling until they can't walk. Like,
yeah.
Literally, like, the American laddies, but they're lads that could have county medals in the back pocket. Like, you know,
we had Jamie Boohan playing Junior B for his last year. I think I think he has county medals from 87 and 2007.
You didn't win the county championship in 87, Marty. We beat
88,
you by a point.
Sorry.
Out there, Marty.
88, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think he was on the panel in 87, but he certainly won. I think he won a medal as a 19-year-old in 88.
In 88, yeah, and I think he was still there in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, and sure, look at David Kindy hurling in the goal for you, and he's what, 5
yeah. still going, yeah.
So you have a junior C, he entered junior C team as well, Marty. So that's their third team now. Like, where are you getting numbers for that?
Is it third or is it fourth?
Third, you'll have senior, junior A, and junior C.
Oh, we've dropped a junior B and gone to junior C, is it?
Did junior B? I never
junior B last year.
Had he? Must. Yeah, so and then. Who has Knock in the mid, then Knock, Clay, and Curtin Who entered our team. That's Curtin Who's third team now, then. So that's Curtin Who up to senior as well. So there's probably room for there. Like, junior C, we were half thinking we have numbers. We would, but we wouldn't. There's three junior teams, be a lot to.
Yeah.
Especially if you lose one or two lads off the Z team, or lose not to B, you lose not to A. There's some knock on. Mm. You need a core group of 17.
I think there's a bit of an appetite for lads in their late 30s, early 40s, that play for a bit of crack, like. So I think...
Yeah, it's kind of it's like the social hurling kind of thing, yeah. Isn't it? You know, it's what Junior B was probably 20 years ago, in that lad will rock on there on whatever day to play it and won't have to go to the field twice in a week. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's another grade now that has to be played off for a weekend where the season compacted enough. So, like, remember last year we were playing... We'd have two junior matches, two senior matches. Could be in 2 days. You're going from one place to another. Now we're throwing another grade into the mix. I know we're not involved, but some teams like Drumder now are going to... It's going to stretch you a bit, I think, to be honest. Even last year, we know it was a stretched lads between physios. I know you don't need physios junior, but management teams and stuff, you're very stretched. Like, you know, you have to keep behind these whole thing, which is always hard to get in GA. Like.
Yeah, and it'll probably stretch your refereeing resources as well, because it's probably going to be played on it's on the weekends and that, and you're going to have a lot of games going on, and it's probably going to be played at times that won't, you know, suit people probably, you know, because like your 12 o'clock and your 3 o'clock are going to be taken up with your senior and intermediate, and
yeah, you could see a few 10 o'clock throw-ins.
It'll be real early, or it's real late. It has to be.
Yeah.
But it's not as good to see it get in, and you know, it's only one way to try is a student. It doesn't work. At least it's been tried, like.
I think we're having a C competition. Well, they sent out feeler as far as anyway, and it looks like there's going to be teams that'll put in the, I think it's 13 aside where it's probably going to be ran as here.
So that's it from this week's podcast. Join us next week where we'll have an interview with Tipperary referee Fergal Horgan, who will be talking about the new rule changes brought in. Thanks for listening, lads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.